It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, this comes to you every week at this time. In the center studio, we call NASCAR Dave Studio, which was named after him after his retirement. We have Cynthia and Ann. Good morning. I don't hear you guys. Why don't
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
I'm kind of talking on a coffee ground, just FYI. Well, until 9:59. I'm going to be choking until 9:59.
Choking?
Yeah.
Until Mercury goes out of retrograde.
That's okay.
But it's going to. It is just taking
choking
as many.
Choking is allowed, but puking is not.
It is taking as many prisoners as it can on its way out.
Yeah, it's bad enough we have cats. We can't have
an hour and a half.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
All right. The gang's all here.
Great.
All right. And if you're wondering what happened to Judy Wertman, she gets a day off every now and then. So
she's on a train.
I like the farm report. That was good.
The guys from Turkana Farm and the gals. Now there's
guys
there are
three.
And gals.
Then there were three.
That was a nice little essay.
Yeah.
That was Mark.
That was Mark.
If you look at the bulletin, it's funny because he does look.
There's a picture of him fixing this fence, lying on the ground.
He's planting snap peas, and he's lying on the ground. And then
they took another picture of a pig that was lying on the ground, and they kind of both look the same.
And they're just getting their visual because the kids who have taken it, who are doing it with him.
All right. While we're talking about animals, bears, taxes, and tension. Yeah. Connecticut legislature.
And everybody could maybe smoke a little recreational marijuana, but oh, not yet. So Patrick interviewed Craig Miner and Maria Horn, and a lot going on, a lot for them to keep up with, and they had some opinions on some things, and there's just so much. Like, Maria's been posting on her Instagram little pieces of legislation, and you see the list of stuff that they're working on. It's incredible. Some of it, you know, seems fairly small, but everything is important to the person that introduced it. So,
and what's great about this now, not only are Maria's posts available on her regular website and on her Instagram and her Facebook pages, but Brian Oler has opened up the Northwest Corner Chatter, and she now posts on there as well.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, which is great, and she's posting a lot. So thanks to Brian for opening that up. By the way, but yeah, beers, marijuana, and it's more.
Yeah, a lot of issues that are actually important to people, and then of course the big issue that people are talking about is the tolls, which is not, of course, as important to us, but you know, but it is everything ultimately.
Tolls and also the pork barrel projects, which towns have had lists of. Lamont is going after, people say you got to go after spending. Those are going to be forbidden. Anything that was left over from last year are the only ones that are really on the agenda from now on. Otherwise, it's very, very, very limited. So,
can't sidewalks.
Because the state is
tightening up.
Tightening, it has to do it.
Yep. Well, yeah, it has had to do for years and still more. And don't misreading Patrick's description of the changes to property taxes, because it's complicated, but really good to keep on top of.
Yeah, that's super complicated.
All right. Grand list for the Northwest Quarter town.
Speaking of property taxes, so of course, the grand list is at the base of your what your property tax is. And as the towns are all going into the final throes of budget season, what they'll do is they'll have their spending plans that will be approved at town meeting. And once again, we're going to make a plea to all of our listeners. If you want to have an opinion on your town's budget, go to the public hearing. At the public hearing, you can ask all the questions you want, and you can still potentially impact what the spending is and say, like, oh, we want more in that column or less in that column. Once it goes to town meeting, all they can do is you can only vote yes or no. And then I believe this is not, I think, 100% true, but I believe in most cases they can only reduce, they can't increase. So it's very important to go to your public hearing, even though it might not seem the most fun evening.
For your town budgets, and you've probably missed your chance for the Housatonic budgets because they're going to go to a final thing, I think, by May. I don't think
their public hearing will still be coming up, and they can still.
Very little changes.
They didn't post it on their website, which they usually do, which unless they've posted it now. I think that I had asked Patrick about it, and he said, I think it's too preliminary at this point, but keep an eye out on the Region 1 website.
They have posted the warning dates. They're in May. They're
in May. Because most years they've posted the entire budget, which I think is actually very helpful. but we'll see.
All right. And a restaurant that has gotten a lot of great talk since it had its soft opening and is open now, and that is Neo in Salisbury.
Yeah, so it's where the Lockup and Below the Salt were, and of course the home for many years of the Sporting Goods store right next to Salisbury Town Hall. And it's such a central spot, and people in Salisbury have really been keen to know what's going on there. And they'd had paper up on the windows for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they took the paper down, opened up last week, and were hoping for a soft opening, but all of the other businesses on the street had been so enthusiastic about it that they all told their friends, go to the restaurant, go to the restaurant. So they got slammed on their first night, but they seemed happy about it. These guys are real pros. They've been in the restaurant business for decades. The wait staff at the moment is primarily family members, so you know you're going to get good service, and they're hiring additional wait staff coming up. But everybody that I've spoken to has been very happy about it, so yeah. Go give them a try.
I haven't heard anything negative at all about it.
Yeah, which is unusual around here. And they're open for lunch and for dinner.
That's right. Normally, if you don't hear anything, it's positive, and with your stuff, it gets negative.
Yeah, people haven't started taking it down. But flatbread pizzas and burgers, seems like, you know, really approachable, affordable food, well done in an attractive setting. Yeah. And they're open all the way through from 11:30 till, I think, 9 or 10.
Only day they're not open is Monday.
Day they're not open is Monday.
Like I said, someone's going to open up a restaurant one day a week called Mondays, and they'll make a fortune
on
that
Monday. Four Brothers is open. And actually, Saravan and Amini is always open on Monday.
All right.
We've been trying to get the restaurants to open for the last 20 years and so far.
Yeah. They got to take
one. We're failing.
They got it. Yeah.
Peepers and early plants say spring is here.
I wouldn't have believed it, but Tim Abbott says so, and so I believe Tim Abbott. And he's starting to see signs of spring. He's saying the ramps are going to be up soon, which are like wild leeks. They're delicious, edible little plants, and the morels are going to be coming out soon. And the skunk cabbage is always the first sign of spring, and he's saying keep an eye out for it. Maple syrup season is still going on. It's been a very good season from what I can gather, and it should be continuing for another couple days, but it's going to be wrapping up soon. But if you want to buy the syrup, just because they're done making it doesn't mean they're done selling it. That season is just starting, so do go to Audubon or whoever your local favorite seller is and get some of the fresh syrup from the season.
All right. Now, I was mentioning before we got on the air about the Region 1 Arts Fund, but the big scholarship which is offered to Region 1 students, the $40,000 scholarship, which was launched in 2004, is also up from the art department. If you're pursuing a four-year degree in fine art, you can get that information at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
It's almost impossible to believe that a scholarship that large exists, but it does. It's called the group that gives it is called the Low Road Foundation, and I believe
$40,000 every year.
Yeah, I believe it's through Jasper Johns, although I can't confirm that. But that's a very nice scholarship, and applications are due, I think, April 26th.
Yeah. All right. I want to move on to a big story on Jesse Morey and his shop.
Yes, it's the time of the year when we have room for big features on new businesses. So Jesse Morey, a lovely local guy, grew up around here, just the sweetest person, and beautiful photo of him by Ann Day, who's so generous with her time. And he's got a new shop in North Canaan in that funny little sort of burgundy-colored building across from Stop and Shop that's been home to various sort of endeavors, but we really feel that Jesse's going to do a great job. And I've been in there, and just you want everything when you go. And a reminder, Mother's Day and Father's Day are coming up, and my birthday. But there's some beautiful stuff in that store, handmade, and Jesse is just the most earnest, lovely person and wants to tell you all about the different people that make stuff. His girlfriend, Allison Foreman, has some beautiful stuff there. Her dad, Richard Foreman, has these exquisite little metal leaves and other sculptures. Bill Trober just got work there. There's just a lot of cool stuff there.
All right. Education spending next up 1.9% in North Canaan, and some moderate changes in Sharon.
It's fairly quiet as a budget year, except in Salisbury and Falls Village. And when you turn the page, you'll see it's like a stunningly large increase in Falls Village, which is also a town that's got a high mill rate to start with because so much of the land is in conservation. But for the most part, not one of those years when you hear a lot of anxiety. But of course, a budget going up is never good.
No, well, Falls Village sees that, and I was talking about this on the air yesterday. Almost a 13% in rise, and that is totally due to the high school and the amount of people at the high school or not at the high school. They wanted to point it out to everybody that it has nothing to do with the day-to-day costs of educating, like teachers or anything like that.
Although there, of course, are contractual raises. And then apparently there's a there's the certified staff and the non-certified staff. And the certified staff is the teachers, and the non-cert staff is, you know, secretaries, nurses, of which there's very few, actually, at Lee Kellogg, because they don't even have a lunchroom. But partly what's pushing it up is the cost of the non-certified staff insurance plan, and they're trying to get them to switch over to the certified. But because I believe it's – I don't know if they're in a union, but for some reason they're having a hard time making that switch. But mostly what happens, it's not even like you look at Lee Kellogg and you go, didn't you guys know that you were going to have an extra amount of kids going to the high school next year? Which for Lee Kellogg means, you know, 8 kids instead of 4 kids. Yeah. But it's you have to look at the whole region and all 6 schools, and there's been a decrease in some of the other towns and an increase in Falls Village. So, for instance, Cornwall has been shrinking. They had 2 kids last year that graduated. Cornwall can't be any smaller. But I think, you know, you have to look at how many of the other towns, like North Canaan last year got hit really hard because they had just a couple extra kids, but everybody else sent fewer.
So it's rough. Now, you look at Cornwall, though, they're spending really – it's about 3%, a little over 3% in Cornwall on the next page.
Which is, you know, a lot. You feel it. But in Salisbury, I think, was looking at 5 or 6%.
Yeah. Well, transfer station. People, this is new regs, new regulations.
You know, this the past couple of years, there have been changes in Canaan. And so all the state is charging more money for tipping. And, you know, it's discouraging because a lot of the recycling stuff that we send out gets sent back because people don't rinse out their food. So you can't put anything in your recycle that has any food or liquid in it. You have to recycle it, or, you know, ultimately when it gets to China or whatever, they throw it out because it's contaminated. So we want recycling to work on our planet. So, you know, we are all worried about climate change. Let's all participate in that by really rinsing out and cleaning our recyclables. And if you can't, if it's like peanut butter, just throw it out.
Let's talk about hellebores and more in Falls Village.
This is our neighbor, Tommy Scott. And he, very quietly, it's, you know, that's a beautiful farm there. And very quietly, he's been in business. And of course, Tommy wanders in and out of our office from time to time. And so we did a little interview with him. And so their claim to fame is that pretty much they've been growing the same plants and dividing them and dividing them and dividing them over the years. And so they have beautiful hellebores and fritillaria and lots of plants. Their specialty is they do shrubs, but their specialty is perennials, and just divided and divided and divided. And this is a great time of year to go when their hellebores are starting to come up, and they will, of course, be at Trade Secrets, which is coming up in mid-May.
All right. Well, Metcalf is at it again, because when you turn the page, you see a great ad. Bob Mueller should investigate.
And it's very timely.
I'll tell you what. People complain sometimes about his billboards and his ads, but I'll tell you what.
He's funny.
They get attention.
Yeah, how can you not read it? He is. I know. He has a wonderful ad person.
He's got a good sense of humor, the way he does it as well. Yeah. It's very good. All right, a Broadway classic from the Falls Village Children's Theater, Annie, Get Your Gun, this weekend.
Annie, Get Your Gun coming up. That's a nice little theater. Michael Berkeley, who's so busy working with them. And then Scott Zuckerman doing an art show in Cornwall. And then there was a talk in Millbrook about Eleanor Roosevelt, who was connected to the Millbrook School and was helped make the Trevor Zoo come to life, which we all appreciate and
now,
enjoy.
Did you ever zone out as a reporter? Annie, Get Your Gun is a thing where I was doing an interview about the show Annie. And halfway through it, for some reason, I switched over to Annie, Get Your Gun.
And asked Annie, the little orphan.
I completely freaked out.
Yeah. Told the little orphan not to shoot anybody.
Oh my God.
By accident.
Oh my God.
But then I switched back to the
regular. And then she went back to, and it was just... Yeah. And so
did you ever zoom out like that?
No, but I would be more inclined to sort of zoom out on Annie, Get Your Gun, and start talking about orphans.
Okay.
Because I'm
orphaned. It would be a very interesting play, actually, to combine now that you mentioned.
Well, it's quite.
All right. But it also could turn out like that. No, I won't. I was going to say about it.
Yeah, don't go there.
I was not going to go anywhere. All right. So let's go to berries.
Yeah, blackberries, blueberries, raspberries. All are bigger, and you go to the store and you're like, wow, is it just me? But no, in fact, they've come up with some new types of berries, all 3 kinds. It's been a concerted effort by groups like Driscoll and Planas, which is in Spain. So you think they're looking better, they are looking better. And when you see them on sale, buy them because they're tasty and they're good for you.
All right, now, Cynthia, you've got the story, You're Not Alone, I'm Having Trouble Sleeping Too. Since I've started taking CBC oil, whatever it's called.
CBD
oil, 4 drops in the morning and 4 drops in the evening. I tell you, boom, right? I know it sounds crazy, but it
doesn't sound crazy
for me.
I'll try it. Did you get it at Four Seasons?
No, but I'm going to start getting it at Four Seasons because I didn't realize they had it.
Yeah. Don't you read the Lakeville Journal?
What? I do, but I don't. You heard me tell you I zoned out
Salisbury
about
Pharmacy.
I had zoned out about Annie.
It's a detail.
That's why we keep reminding people.
That's
about
right. Like,
keep doing that same story.
But you see, get that story.
Yeah.
Sleep is good.
Sleep is good, and I have a frozen shoulder. But Anne was just giving me another tip. There's a lot of, I think that once at 9:59 today, when Mercury goes out of Gatorade, as my daughter likes to call it, I think we'll all be better.
All right. Let us go to the opinion page, your editorial, some local history in need of a new home.
That's right. If you read that headline and think, that's interesting, then please do read on. Not everybody will find it interesting, but, the Lakeville Journal has been the repository of a lot of local history over more than 100 years. And when we moved, I tell this story in the editorial, when we moved in October of 2017, we got rid of a lot of things, but certainly the things we held on to were anything that, applied to local history and things that were irreplaceable like that. The old metal desk could go, but these things were much more important to our community. So Cynthia was actually the one who was able to find a place to put more than 10 heavy metal cabinets that we could not fit in our new space. In our old building, we had them in various places, but we had a lot more space to play around with there, and we had them in our old dark room right as we were moving. And luckily, Catherine Chilcote from Salisbury came in, historian who knew what might be interesting to people in Salisbury, so went through these cabinets of archive material that goes back to the 50s, and some things that you just can't find anywhere else. Of course, it's a situation where, it's not digitized, it's not searchable except with your hands and your eyes. And so, you really have to be into that sort of forensic searching. And it could be there are things of interest there. They are right now at the Sawmill in Falls Village. And we need to find a new place for them or to disseminate them to places, and we're thinking other town historical societies or people who are interested in town history might be willing to go and sort of look through and take some stuff and keep them for their archives. But this is the plea. Read it through, and we have the contact information if you'd like to know more about it.
Lots of different letters, and I love, once again, turning back the pages. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the article... and that from 50 years ago in 1969, one of the last survivors of the Radium Girls who passed away. That's an interesting tidbit that people should look at. I remember that. I was a sophomore in high school. I remember when she passed away.
Yeah.
But also some great viewpoints, of course. Mr. Steiner does an excellent job with, it's either the Ten Commandments or the Mueller Report. That really was the truth. But also a great column by Ralph Nader, The Realized Temptations of NPR and PBS.
That's right. We get Ralph's column in every week, and, he often writes about fascinating things. And this one is, very personal to a lot of our readership and your listenership, that we have NPR is a very big part of our lives, and PBS as well, and he takes a hard look at what's happening at these media outlets and his opinions on it.
It's interesting because we hear, we don't put on more than what we call 8 to 10 units an hour, and those are normally 16-second announcements. But we also don't do fundraising drives.
This is not every, but
this is what we decided when and we were told by the MP when we went in 12
we
years ago to Washington
work.
We were told that it wouldn't work. Well, guess what, a lot of the NPR stations now are doing what we're doing, and AMC has so many different outlets that the 28 announcements an hour is very, very, very high. But it'll only get worse if funding gets taken away from these stations. It'll only get worse.
And basically, we also definitely need a generation to know that it is meant to be listener-supported.
Listener-supported,
yeah. Like that is very much part of it.
If it was more listener-supported, you'd have less of those.
Far fewer ads.
Right, right. And so this is addressed. And, right, he does not mention your radio station.
No. Well, because we're so tiny, we don't have that many underwriting agents.
But he does mention WAMC.
God, we wish we could get 28.
Yeah, right?
There's a reason we're
we
the smallest NPR station in the nation, not the...
As a newspaper manager, you must realize that you probably... There's a lot of things we wish for that don't happen.
Well, we're in a very different area than, for instance, WAMC Absolutely. Out of Albany, and such a widespread market.
Yep.
Our market is not as high in commerce as more urban markets, and so we have to be flexible and figure out different ways to do things.
Absolutely right. I want to go on to the sports page because you've got two great stories, and I love the headlines. Rail Trail will expand up to Anchor, and we're going to be part of that. We're allowing access to the rail trail behind our AM transmitter.
Oh, nice. Yay.
So they can fix it. And then I love the tangled lines, a fisherman's plea, bite me.
Patrick always says that in the newsroom. He's like, bite me. So finally we got to use it in the headline, a very funny story about how desperate he is to get out there in the river, as many people are. And then a story by Whitney Joseph that we sort of shortened for our paper about the rail trail finally expanding north, as has been the dream for many years. And for the longer version of that story, pick up the Millerton News.
There's a lot there. Now, we have about 3.5 minutes left, and I wanted to leave some time. I want to mention the Tri-Corner Real Estate before we get to Compass. It's a Tri-Corner Real Estate is packed in the paper today.
Lots of interesting stuff, including like a lot of retail businesses in downtown North Canaan, which is an interesting indicator.
Right, and we have property transfers in there as well. And, fascinating properties. Take a look.
All right, so now, ladies and gentlemen, Compass will bring in Ann Day, but I have to go to Bikini Space Chainsaws Pigs in Leather first.
Okay, so, Marshall, that headline just tells you everything you need to know. That's all you need to know, and then you can watch the movies. That Patrick is such a genius at writing about these terrible movies that he makes you want to see them, and I really couldn't resist a movie about the island of the leather pants, or just some of the things that he writes in here are so funny. He says there's enough nakedity to prevent falling asleep.
I like his term. This, I haven't heard the used word. In return for ignoring ads, Tubi provides lots of stuff, including some true dreck. Now, there's a word you don't hear every day.
That's right.
Dreck and schlock.
So I would say it's worth it, even if you never see any of these movies, which I have to admit I don't plan on watching them, but I sure love reading about them. So read Patrick's story, Bikini Space, Chainsaws, Pigs, and Leather. And then we have this week, speaking of NPR, we have Ann Garrels, who for many, many years, I think more than 25 years, was an NPR war correspondent. And she spent 9 years in Iraq. And when I spoke with her, I said, did she miss it? Because she retired in 2011. And she said, no, she felt that she had stayed too long at the war. And it really has taken a toll on her. And when Neil Conan from NPR approached her and asked her, would she like to join these Celtic musicians in a program of music and poetry and narration talking about war, she immediately said yes, because, as she says, the music is very healing and the poetry took her somewhere that she had never been before. And she's a really, really smart, interesting, great reporter. And if she likes this music, I'm sure that it's fantastic. She'll be in Norfolk on April 3rd at 7 o'clock at the Congregational Church with the group, the Ensemble Galilee, which are a group of independently working musicians who come together for these events. And the leader of this group had lost two friends in Afghanistan, and that's how she started playing music for, she started playing at Walter Reed Hospital for the Wounded Warriors. And so the group of them, the musicians, Neil Conan and Ann Garrels, are traveling around the East Coast. They'll be in Baltimore, Washington, Hartford, Philadelphia, and Norfolk, Connecticut. They'll be in Norfolk on the 3rd and then in Hartford on the 4th at 7 o'clock. And it's a free concert in Hartford at the Infinity Hall. Then we have a new gallery that's opened in Great Barrington, which will feature paintings from our own Marjorie Reed, who is a beautiful painter who doesn't show enough. I have a hard time seeing her work because she hasn't had a lot of exhibitions, but she's very prolific and she's always working, so it'll be exciting to be able to see her work in this show, which also includes 10 other artists. It's a brand new gallery called Bernay Fine Art at 325 Stockbridge Road in Great Barrington. And then we have lots of events in calendar. There's a lot of great stuff happening at Noble Horizons this month. And how much more time do I have?
About 30 seconds.
Okay. So look in calendar. There's lots of great stuff. There's a fabulous art show by Mark Wilson, who's from Cornwall, opening at the Tremaine Art Gallery at the Hotchkiss School this weekend. I'll have more about that next week.
All right.
Thank you.
And can I quickly throw in, if you look in the legals, it's interesting. El Fresco in Sharon is applying for a liquor license.
Yes, big sign that was out in front.
Still there.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this week's edition of This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We'll speak to you all next week.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, if you missed any of it, you want to hear it, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You'll find the Lakeville Journal online also and on Facebook and at tricornernews.com.